I'm just kidding. We're in a series of Proverbs called Wise Up About Life, and today it is Wise Up About Your Anger, okay? Now, if you had known that was what I was preaching on, we've probably had only half the people here, right? Because you've been too mad to come. Okay. All right, just kidding. All right, so let's start with today's Proverbs. Now, what I've done is I've combined several Proverbs. This is not an exhaustive list, so let's just read it together. An angry man stirs up strife. Okay, now listen, I can hardly hear you up here. I'm a little hearing impaired. So you got to read really loud so I can hear it, all right? So let's just start over. Remember, it's God's word, and we're going to honor it by doing it loud, okay? Here we go. An angry man stirs up strife.
And a furious man
wants to stir strife. Whoa. For as the churning of milk produces butter and wringing the nose produces blood. Boy, doesn't that Proverbs get you just wringing the nose? Yeah. All right. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. A fool gives full vent to his anger. Wow, he keeps himself under control. You know, here's the deal. Everyone has anger, right? Let's all admit it, confess our sins. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. We all have anger, and it's a universal emotion. And we may change the name of anger to protect the guilty, right? Or minimize it so it sounds so much better in our life when we are misusing anger. And we might call it, well, I'm a little frustrated. Or, man, I'm kind of irritated. I'm annoyed. Or maybe even say, I'm exasperated. Or you might use caustic humor. Or you may say, I'm simply mad. Not a big deal, I'm just mad. Or feel a little displeasure. But the real question is not, do we have anger, but how can we deal with this anger in a way that honors God, right? I mean, we have to admit anger is probably the worst handled emotion that we have. Of all the emotions we have, that must be the most mishandled. And hear me on this. God did not give us this emotion to be frustrated with. He gave us this emotion for a purpose, a righteous purpose. And don't assume that he made some kind of mistake when he gave you anger and he thought to himself, oops, I didn't do that right, but he'll just kind of have to deal with it. Yeah. So first, let's understand what anger is and does, and then let's discover its purpose. Think about this with me now. I want to switch it around. Without anger, okay? You wouldn't be able to resolve issues. There would be no need. Nothing's upsetting you. Or to confront wrongs. Or you wouldn't meet schedules. You wouldn't see the need to exercise control. You have no need for finding safety. Why improve when no one cares? We wouldn't stand up for what's right or recognize injustices in life. And fear would be totally out of control. You know, I was talking to my son last service, and I was giving him an idea, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, wait a minute, ideas. Do you realize ideas come out of anger, the emotion of anger? We're frustrated with the way something's going, so we come up with a new idea, right? These are needful reasons for anger. Think about this. Did Jesus get angry? Yeah, he did. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. He turned tables upside down because they were cheating. Or what about the God of the Old Testament? Did he ever get mad? Okay, yeah. Remember when he was up on the mountain in Exodus 32 and he said, "Stand aside, Moses, I'm going to destroy those people," because they were out and out in sin, created a golden calf. And Moses had to kind of talk him down a little bit, reminded him, and he decided not to do that. Yeah, because anger is not necessarily wrong. In fact, here's how Paul puts it. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Man, doesn't he love to take your anger and turn it into sin? Or help tempt you to do that. And here's what King David said, because Paul was quoting him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Be calm. You know, Paul says, don't hold it for a day, right? Don't go to bed mad. What happens when you go to bed mad? You wake up mad. You don't sleep very well. And then pretty soon it turns into a 3 or 4 day issue. Or a week or two. You know, and David says, lay on your bed and examine your heart. Think about why you're angry and calm down. In our Christian world, we basically interpreted anger as sin, right? Even when I say the word angry, is it a neutral feeling to you? No, because we have so much misuse of anger that it really is. I wish I could think of a word that was neutral. Frustration. I don't know what the word would be, maybe. Because it seems to most of the time turn out to be sin. And we're not understanding the benefits of what anger offers us in our life as spiritual beings. In fact, our stereotype is the big male bully, right? When you say, you talk about an angry person, immediately you get a guy like that. Seething inside. Keeping his wife and family at bay so they don't have much movement. Scared to say anything for fear of an eruption. And a reason that's a stereotype is because in a majority of the cases, foolish men do that. And they foolishly think that if they're keeping their family together and safe by controlling the environment by fear, and instead they're actually losing their families. And then they come for counseling, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened. They come for counseling and say, my wife's wanting to leave me or left me, and I don't know why. She's never told me. Well, who wants to tell them? She never said she was unhappy. Can you get her back for me? And then expecting that in one counseling session, he can just change a few things and flip a switch, and 20 years of damage is going to be cleared up in an hour. You know, I was raised in a family that had an angry father. And I can remember that when he would walk up to the door, our joy and our fun stopped. And we would look at his face to see what kind of evening we were going to have. Does anybody relate to that? And he thought everything was great. After all, who's complaining? Who would want to complain? He just knew that the world was against him and he had to fight back. Until my mother finally had had enough of his angry personality and their marriage became coexistent until he died. And the sad thing to say is when my father died, my mother celebrated. That was one of the happiest moments in her life. But then it isn't just fathers, is it? And husbands. It's people in all categories, raging, hurtful, yelling at the kids, wives, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers. Boss is raging because the productivity isn't being met. Anger because things aren't done right. Anger because we haven't met the unspoken expectations of a person. The emotion of anger is not sin, but it's how we express it determines whether we're wise or not, whether it becomes sin. So let's talk about uncontrolled anger and what it does. Let's start with Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Here's the way another translation said it. An angry person stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. You know, the Hebrew always has more of a visual look at things, and so the Hebrew word for angry is flared nostrils. That's the way they picture it, when the nostrils flare out. And he's describing a person's identity here, the hot-tempered person, an angry man, an angry woman, who is categorized by their anger. His or her behavior begins to define who they are. And you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Because when they say, do you know any angry people? Immediately your mind starts going to the relatives and out to the friends, co-workers. It's like they have this sign hanging on their head like these people here. Angry. Who wants to be around them? How would you like to be defined as an angry person? That's your identity. And maybe unknown to you, you might be. After all, who's going to tell you? Without paying a price. No one wants to be around that person. You don't want to be around, right? Simply put, uncontrolled anger opens the door to sin in our lives. You know, I was pretty angry when I left home, and I struggled with that anger for a long time. And I tried to blame it on my parents. But I had made the choice to follow his pattern. And it all culminated when I married my wife. You can go to the next slide. All right. I bought this 1965 GTO. Yellow hardtop, black interior, Hurst shifter on the floor, guaranteed to break your arm before it would break the linkage. 383 engine. It was fast. It was fun. But I had one problem with it. It wouldn't start on the starter. I could go 1 mile an hour, pop the clutch, and it would start. Now, I realize I'm losing some of you here because, you know. What do you mean shift? Okay. All right. Clutch. So anyhow, it would start right away, but I could not get it started on that starter. And I would call it names. I would throw wrenches at the engine. And I would yell, and one day Debbie says to me, honey, you're a violent person. Me? Violent? Man, it must have taken her a lot of guts to say that. But up to that time, I had never thought about it. I was used to it. That's the way my dad acted. I thought that was the way I should act. But I certainly didn't think I was a violent person. But when I stood back and looked at what I was saying and what I was doing, I was a violent person. Long story short, if I wanted to have a good marriage, I had to change my ways, right? I needed to get control of that anger and figure it out. And so, here's what I discovered about myself. I thought that anger was a great motivator. You know, we have adrenaline and we have anger. And I thought it was a great motivator, and I thought it helped motivate people around me in a good way, and somehow thought that my car would start if I got mad enough. It would shape up and starting on the starter. Well, I didn't say it would make sense. When we don't learn wise ways to deal with our emotion of anger, it bubbles up in ways we don't like. Amen? Isn't it true? And suddenly we find ourselves doing and saying things that are make us ashamed. Listen to this verse. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Now that pretty much covers us all. Stop the bad behavior, stop building a case, and stop going over and over and over it, the hurt. It only causes harm, psalmist says. So I learned to channel my anger for the reasons God gave. And here's what I want to do. I want to stop for a second. I want to have you turn to your neighbor. And I want you to tell them where you think you are in this anger process. Right, do you feel like you're doing well? Do you feel like you have a lot of ways to go? Go ahead. Okay, that was hard. Did anybody learn anything? You know, what's interesting is I think that if you're in a reasonable place on your way, it's easy to talk about. But if you're still in that anger mode, boy, is it hard to talk about, doesn't it? It's hard. So, you know, I thought, okay, well, what is anger for? So I got on the computer and I typed in, what is anger for? And Yahoo Answers came up. Yahoo Answers. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised at how they answered it. And this is what they said. And I got a few pieces up there that you can look at. Anger is a natural emotion that each of us experiences. When used correctly, it can motivate us into action to complete a task and right an injustice. Anger is a tool and must be understood and used effectively for the purpose it was designed. Some have painted this picture that anger is all bad. That is a fallacy. Anger is neutral. It is the individual who decides if anger will be put to constructive or destructive use. Not a great definition. I think there's more to it, but I think it's inferred in there. You know, and I look at that and I think even the world understands this. Yahoo Answers understands this. And the purpose is to motivate us to an action to complete a task or right an injustice or to confront wrong behavior. And we talked before, it gives us ideas, it gives us a lot of other things. And it can be real destructive, but this person has to decide whether it's going to be constructive or destructive. And one more point might help. Anger is a cover emotion, a default emotion that covers the real emotion. When we don't like our real emotion, then we use anger rather than that real emotion. Let's say someone hurts you with words. And instead of defining the real emotion, which is you feel hurt, or you feel rejection, you quickly move to anger and you get mad. And it doesn't solve anything. And then you may even lash out at the person. But if you consider the real emotion, it's so easy to stop negative anger behavior in its tracks and deal with the real issue. For instance, let's say somebody, just so this makes sense, somebody comes up and says, Steve, you know, I think you're really a bad leader. Okay, now how would that make you feel if you're a pastor and you're leading this flock somewhere? Could I get angry? Yeah. Or I could identify the real emotions. Oh, that hurts. And so let me just give you some responses for you to think about to analyze through the process, okay? What's my first response? Maybe they don't know me that well. Maybe I've hurt them. Maybe I've done something that makes them think I'm not a good leader. Maybe they are retaliating. Maybe they have a point and I need to really consider it. But maybe they're exaggerating. How many times when someone confronts you, do they exaggerate? 98%? Right? Because then once you get up the guts and you do it, you overstate it. What's my second response? That's to identify my emotions. Hurt, misunderstanding. Maybe I all of a sudden feel hopeless in the case. How many of you have felt that? When somebody admonishes you and you see that string of truth in it, do you know what I'm talking about? They can be far off base, but there's still that string that runs through there that has truth in. Don't you feel hopeless for a minute? Or maybe even guilty because what they're saying is true. We can choose to forgive and let go and or approach for clarification and make the needed changes that might need to be made. Number three, what is the purpose of anger? We got to go back and remember what the purpose of anger is: to motivate us to take action, to complete a task, to right an injustice, to approach a person like Debbie did to me in those early years. Number four, we need to exercise control over our anger. We start with Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person keeps himself under control. We have that choice every time, don't we? Every time a situation comes up that might bring up anger. And if you're one to kind of lash out or get mad, here's this little voice in your head. If you know Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Amen? Right? Okay. So you hear this little voice that says, don't do it. Right? Don't say it. You'll regret it. And you think, no, I'm going to get even and feel better. And you get even, and you don't get even, and you don't feel better. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number five, that brings us to our last proverb, but I think it's the most important proverb for this morning. A gentle, calm, soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I didn't put the proverb up there, so let me just read it again. A gentle answer turns away anger. Did you get that? But a harsh word stirs up anger. Be harsh, stir up anger. Be calm, and turn away anger. So I want you to pull out your bulletin this morning. And right underneath the five ways to process through anger that you have already written down,